Thank you, Pastor Matt. I appreciate it. You know, when I was going to go see Pastor Matt, I think a couple weeks ago, right? And I was like, yeah, you want to come see me again? I'm like, oh, sure. I guess last time was okay. So praise God. Here I am, right? So glad, you know, just to get an honor just to be able to share the word of God with you guys today. And to continue with what Pastor Matt has been doing with this series on Matthew, right? And I love this. Did I tell you last time when I was here? I love the book of Matthew. It's actually the first book of the Bible I've ever read in my life. Is it a little echoey? I got saved at 16, and that was when it was in California. I found myself in a very like small Chinese church. Do I need to move up here? Where is this at? Okay, that's fine. I'll get up here. It's not a big deal. Ooh. Echo. All right. Until then, I can just use this. It's fine. Yeah, I got this. And I went to like a very small like church. I didn't have eight students, like tops. And oh, thank you. Yeah, and I was Buddhist prior, so I had no context of what church is. I was expecting pews and stained glass windows when I first arrived at church, but for the youth group, we were in like a trailer, and it was like eight kids, and they didn't have a youth pastor. They just had this guy who was a senior in high school leading worship, but I remember the very first time, like I was singing the very song, not very songs, but like, you know, back in 2000s, we have some really amazing, I still enjoyed like Hillsong back then, you know, and that when I first walked in, I started singing those songs. I started bawling. My tears were just dripping down. I was crying. I had no idea. My mind was like, why are you crying? But my body was reacting to whatever the Holy Spirit was doing. I didn't know. But the first time I picked up the Bible, Matthew was obviously the first one to go to, right? Because it's like, go to the New Testament. Okay. And, you know, Genesis was a little hard for me at the time. But Matthew was a good start. And it stuck with me. Matthew is very dear to my heart for that very reason. Pastor Matt, do you mind if I just give this to you real quick? Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate your letter. Yeah. And I asked like, Pastor Matt, like, what scripture should I be doing? It's actually Matthew 17, verse 22 to 27. In all honesty, when I first read this, even for a long time, I've never taken a serious look in this passage. I just felt like, this is a cool story. Next. You know, because it was so inconspicuous for me. You know, I thought, eh. But after a while, I started to read. How many of you know that everything in the scripture is intentional? Amen? Like, God puts it there to reveal a bit of himself, even if initially it looks like, I don't get it. And this was it for me. All right, this was a cool story about money from a fish's mouth. Amen? Like, how many of you just wish you can get some money from a fish's mouth, like, just like that, right? Because that's all I got from it initially. And I didn't realize as I was reading this and as I was studying into it, like, oh my goodness, there's so much more in here about who God is and his nature and who he really, really is. And I loved it. I loved it. It's such a tiny passage that I think it reveals a lot. So, are y'all ready for that? Yeah? Okay. But I want to pray first because there are certain things that there are limitations to pastors. And I mean that in a way where we can explain and teach and the best theology, the best message. But at the end of the day, a personal encounter, a personal touch, and the realness of God. What brings this to life is not the work of a pastor. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And I can do the best I can. Be like, God is so good. He's so amazing. But if the Holy Spirit is not with me, it's not going to hit. Right? If our hearts are hard, no matter what God does, we can't see it. So the downfall of humanity is that even if God is moving, if our hearts aren't there, we can't see it. If man is moving, trying to represent God, but if God is not with us, it doesn't work either.
right? So I want to pray. That's where I want to start. I wanted to pray. I want to invite the Lord into this place and bring a posture of reverence. You know, when we invite God, because he's so close, right? Because we sing like, I'm a friend of God, he calls me friend. Like, we've been used to the familiarness of Jesus. We can forget sometimes when we ask for God to grace us with his presence, we're inviting the king to the room. We forgot, and I get it. I do this all the time. Okay, I had prayer morning last week, and I was like mad at God for something. And this got very real. But then the Lord reminded me of, hey, I'm still king. I'm still in charge. I'm still good. So let's pray for a second. Can we do that? Yeah, let's just quickly bow our heads as tradition. Lord, we just invite you here. Holy Spirit, do whatever it is that you want to do. I pray that you move on the hearts and the minds of everyone tonight, today. I pray, Lord, to show yourself. I pray that everyone who walks into this room will leave different by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Yeah. Oof. All right, let's just read this. I love this. So this is fun. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of man, and they will kill him, and on the third day, he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief. I'm going to die. And they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And I could understand when you have a hope and an expectation of something, and something else come and subvert that, you almost want to reject that thought because you're so firmly hold on to what you really believe and you expect. How many of you hate disappointments? Raise your hand. Yeah? Like, how many of you, I'll be the first to admit, I don't process disappointments very well. Okay? It actually breeds a bit of rebellion in me, just being very honest. Yeah? This sucks! Being honest. I mean, I'm not like that, but I think to God I'm like that. Okay? But this sets the tone for what's next and for what is to come from this point on in the narrative. All right, next verse right here. And this is the fun passage. After Jesus and his disciples arrive in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Verse 25, yes, he does, he replied. And when Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon? He asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others? From others, Peter replied. Then the children are exempt, Jesus said to him. But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you'll find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. I want to focus on this part. First and foremost, I just love Peter in a way where, like, I can't imagine him being pressured. This is Capernaum. This is his hometown, all right? And it's time to collect the temple tax, which is more of a tradition, because they needed money to fund. And they usually collect during Passover. You can turn it in during Passover, but they start collecting about a month before in different parts of the area. And he's like, hey, does your teacher pay temple tax? It's like a pressure. I can just imagine Peter's like, yeah, he does. Does he? I don't know if he does. Let's go into the house. And then Jesus lovingly and amazingly just exactly knew what he was going to do, what he was going to say. You guys love it? Sometimes Jesus will say, hey, what do you want me to do? And there are days he just says, before you ask, I already know. This is one of those moments. And I love this in a way where he challenges their thinking. That's what Jesus always does. He challenges the way we think. What do you think, Simon? From who do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes from? From their own children or from others? From others, he replied. And here's the thing, right? Jesus is right. When it comes to kings and royalty, kings and his royal family, they don't pay taxes. That's not how that works. I know in our government, we might think differently because we're used to our context, but no, taxes are for, especially in that time, to pay for the king, to fund military, and that's about it. I think there's a bit more to it. But you got to understand, that culture is a very patronistic culture, meaning that if you want a new road that's being made, the government doesn't really pay for that. What happens is a very rich family will redo the road, and then they put their name on it. And to be like, that's from Iggy's family. So everybody know who worked on this new road, the Iggy's family did that. Or a new temple that's being refurbished, and they put their name on it, and be like, I don't know, Michael's family, whatever. And that's how that kind of works. The tax and the money goes to the kings and whatever he wants to give, military sometimes, but usually. But kings and queens and sons and princes, prince and princesses don't take taxes. So he's asking this, look, technically, he doesn't need to pay the temple tax. It's his house. Why does he need to pay for his house? Am I being clear? Right? The king doesn't need to collect his own tax. He doesn't need to pay. But I love his heart here. And I want you guys to catch this. This is verse 26. If you can go to verse 26 for me really quick, I appreciate it. Then children are exempt, Jesus said to him, verse 27. But so that we may not cause offense. And I want to catch that word, offense. You know, offense in biblical text means to cause one to stumble or to cause one to sin. Offense isn't like the way we use today. Like, ugh, I'm offended. He didn't talk to me. I'm offended. She didn't text me back. I'm offended. You know, my boss looked at me wrong. I'm offended. Like, or certain politician said something. I'm offended. Like, cause a negative feeling. Which, by the way, guys, I just want to put a side note. Deal with your offenses quickly. Because if you let your offense stew, it becomes unforgiveness, which becomes bitterness. Some of the quickest way for you to free yourself or prevent yourself from having deep-rooted bitterness is to actually start dealing with the feeling of offense first. So, side note. But here, offense, to cause one to stumble. So that we don't cause them to sin. I'm going to pay the tax anyways. So that for their sake, I'm going to give up my right and my privilege so that they don't sin. That makes sense here. That I want to catch the nature of God. There's this weird perception people see, like, oh, God is selfish, like a megalomaniac. Everything is about him. And I understand that in some sense where when people don't know him, people make assumptions about him. But in this moment, he's making a point. I am royalty. I don't need to pay tax from my house to fix my house. But I will give up my privilege. I will give up for the sake of others so they won't stumble and sin. Can I challenge you guys for a second? What if, and this is not proper English, but what if God is gooder than you think? That's where my heart today. Because this also previews to what happens to the cross. That he didn't need to pay for our sins. He didn't need to be punished for our sakes. Y'all understand that right now. That it is his nature to prefer others. It is his nature of goodness, his humility, his heart, his generosity to say, I will put others first. And here's the weirdest thing. He is God. He is perfect. He is magnificent. He is above and beyond. Yet at the same time, he would say, look at these humans. I will still put them. I will still give it to them. I will still give up myself for them. He didn't need to pay. He did it anyways. He didn't need to take care of you. He does it anyways. He didn't need to be punished for the accumulations, really, for all of our sins, past, present, and future. Right? The amount of people that we've hurt, the amount of people that we've wronged, intentionally or unintentionally. The things that we should have done but didn't do out of fear and out of lack of faith. We did it. He didn't have to. And if we think about being very real with ourselves, justice, we like justice. We like it when it's on other people. Hey, they did me wrong. They need to pay, right? And then sometimes when people really hurt you, really, really hurt you, betrays you, stab you in the back, your immediate reaction is they need to pay. No one, all of us, falls short to glory God. So technically, we all need to pay. And then the Lord is like, you know what? I'll do it. I will do it because I love you. Can I say something, too, for this church? Now, there's a relational, I mean, cultural understanding. Look, I'm Chinese, obviously. But I also understand in terms of, I think Chinese people are a lot like middle class white people. I'm sorry. It's just that there's a very performative mentality we have sometimes. That I get what I deserve, period. I get what I deserve. Before God, you don't deserve anything. What you deserve is actually judgment. And this isn't like painting you, like trying to beat, I'm not trying to beat anybody down. Please hear me out. I'm just pointing out the very real fact of the state of humanity. You've done something wrong this past week, intentionally, not intentionally. We deserve something. We deserve justice against us. We deserve the wrath of God. We don't deserve the good. But here is what God does. His goodness pours out his grace on us. Some of you need to understand, like, you might have a hard time understanding God's love is simply because you think you don't deserve it. Nobody deserves it, so be quiet and just receive it. Be quiet and just receive the very God who says, you know what, I will give up my privilege for you. You don't go and say, hey, you know what? I'm a good person today, so God loves me more. I'm a bad person today, so man, maybe. That's not the gospel. And to anybody who feels unworthy of God's love in this room, today I'm going to ask you, look at who he is. Now don't base your relationship with God. Don't base your standing before God on whether or not did I sin today or what have I done in the past. I don't know and I don't care. What I do care is this, he is good. He is gooder than you think. And that for us in this room, if you don't feel worthy, welcome to the team. Be quiet about yourself and open up your heart and say, God, I'm going to receive your love today. Because the same good God who gave us his privileges, the same good God who loves you and take care of you, the same good God who did it before is doing it today. And to encourage some of you in this room, he's going to do it again. Because the scripture says we have a God, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Good to yesterday, he's good today. He's going to be good tomorrow and forever. Then Peter fishes out the fish with 4 drachma coin. I don't know how big those coins are. I didn't look it up, but I imagine it's big. 2 things from this. Number one, Jesus doesn't need your money. He pull up on the fish. He don't need your money. Number two, he gave it to Peter. He takes care of him too. This is a God that brings provision in ways that you do not expect. Can I raise the hope in this room for a second? Because I started this message with this reality. I cannot convince you God's goodness. That is not within my power. But what I can do is I can pray, and I can challenge you. I can find ways that hopefully your heart can be open and be encouraged to receive the goodness of God. That this God will provide. He, in ways you don't expect, comes out of the mouth of a fish. And for those who's having financial hard times, I am praying for you, and I'll say to you, this is a God that will bring provisions in ways you don't expect. This is a God who loves you more than you think. And I'm wonder too, because sometimes when you've been in church for a while. I've been in church for a while. I've been pastoring for 7 years, and I serve a small groups of additional 5, so it's like ministry has been a lot of my life, my young adult life. Oh boy, do people hurt you. Oh boy, do people disappoint you. Amen? Haven't y'all been in church for a while? It's been just very real. It's also hard in church too, because it's like, it's church. Everyone should be representing Jesus. And it's like, bam, they hurt your heart, right? That's the worst. I've been there, done that, seen it more than once, experienced it. And sometimes hurts and disappointments, betrayals, and failed expectations, what it does is, if it's not submitted and brought before the Lord, what it can do is you would negotiate down the goodness of God. What does that mean? It means that, you know what, I'm going to church because I know in my head God is good. But because of the hurt, disappointment, unforgiveness, you know, I know God is good in my head, but my faith is right here for his goodness. Because I negotiated down because of my experiences. And I don't know who I'm talking to today. Well, and I get it. Church is hard. People are hard. Life is hard. You will experience suffering and disappointment. Because we do live in a sinful world. We do live with sinful people. And I'm sorry, I'm not apologizing for the church, but parents aren't perfect either. I can tell not every parent is going to represent Jesus perfectly. I can tell every church member is not going to represent Jesus perfectly. And because of that imperfection, people get hurt. And and you, if it's undealt, will muddle and color your perspective of the goodness of God. But I feel like today the Lord is saying, let's bring it back. Bring it back. Are you willing to submit that pain to the Lord and say, God, talk to me about what happened so that I can see you for who you are? Because right here, this is a God who pays. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to do anything for you, but he gave it all anyways. He gave it all anyways. But then where are we right now from our perspective to him? I get it. I read my Bible. I've been in church for years. I know he is good. But truthfully, your faith is right here. And the Lord is saying, I can do more. I am better than you think. The scripture says he does above and beyond what we ask or imagine. What we ask or imagine. Has your faith gone low? Because the failings of people
Can I ask you guys to open your heart today and say this, God, can I ask you, can you show me who you are, and you let him work that through you? Because what's going to happen is if you don't, you're going to keep negotiating down and down. God is only good to other people, not to me. God is not fair. He only cares about them, not me. I've done all this for him, and this happens. I understand because I feel it, and I'm dealing with it myself with you. But I'm reminded, I know my God. He has done wonderful things in my life. Do you guys remember? Do you remember he has done wonderful things in your life? Or are we just okay with negotiating down? God is only this good in my head. I'm just going to stay here. I'm sorry, that's the wrong place to be at. That is deception in the working. He's better than you think. I don't know what you're going through today. I have no idea. But I am recognizing the body of Christ around this country. There's a shift, and people are shifting. Shifting jobs, positions, shifting things. I've just seen it. I just know. Things are shifting. It's almost like stepping out from Egypt into wilderness and in the season where people will have to trust God step by step. And the reminder for today is God is good. He is good. He's going to lead you somewhere. He is good. He's better than you think. Do you want to see it? Do you want to see it? Amen. Can I pray for you guys? This is just the work of the Holy Spirit at this point. It's a short message, but I can't convince you. I can only pray. I can only pray that the Lord touch you. I can only pray that the Lord show your heart. So y'all can just bow your heads for a second, because I want to bless you guys. Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You know, with this, every eye closed, just for the privacy of your brothers and sisters in this room, like, if that's you today, like, I've negotiated down. God is good, I guess, but he's good to other people. God is good. I've been so hurt. I have a hard time believing his goodness. If that is you, if that resonated with you today, can I just ask you to raise your hand? Because here's the thing about confession. It's just, thank you. It's a confession is that it brings it out. And you're not confessing, like, your whole sins. You're saying, I'm admitting to the reality that I don't see him fully. Thank you. Right there. Is anybody else? Don't be shy about this. Don't be shy about this. Thank you. So I'm praying right now, Holy Spirit, and guys, if you want him, he's here. The scripture says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you will be filled. The thing is, you can't turn to righteousness without the goodness and kindness of God, because it is kindness in Romans. It is his kindness that leads to repentance. Therefore, to hunger and thirst for righteousness is to hunger and thirst for his goodness. Do you hunger and thirst right now? If you want to just say this with me, say, dear Jesus, you know, it'd be loud. I hunger and thirst for you. I don't know how, but come to me. My heart is open. Show me your glory. Show me your goodness. And help me see it when I can't. Thank you, Lord. So God, I pray for the entire congregation.
I'm praying that you bring them into a season of miracles. A season where, Lord, they can see your goodness beyond their expectation. I pray you help them see. I pray for a heart of gratitude. I pray a heart that's fixed on you, but not the comparison of things around them. I pray, Lord, that out of this season, everyone here will have a testimony, standing strong and tall, saying, my God did it. That some of you a year later will see, yeah, my God did it. So thank you, Holy Spirit. You didn't have to die, Jesus, but you did it anyways. You love us so much. So we love you. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you all so much.